If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 3. John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 3. How many of you are glad to be in the house of God today? Three people, glad to be in the house of God. I'm happy to be in the presence of God. Before I read to you from John chapter 4, I just want to take a moment, like we do every single week, to give God all the honor, Him all of the glory, and Him all of the praise. He's the one who's worthy of it all. Don't ever look at anybody and put them up on a pedestal. Just lift up one name, and that's the name of Jesus. This morning's message is called Unfinished Business, Part 2. For those of you who were here last week, we talked about finishing the business that God has called you to. God has placed a unique and a special calling on your life that only you can fulfill. And we are called to finish the things that God calls us to, not to do what's convenient to us and leave the rest undone. Today, we're going to be talking about a few different areas of unfinished business. And I believe and I'm coming today expecting that this word has the power to change your life. I just want to invite you from the onset of today's message, just position yourself and open up your hearts. Let go of your doubts, your worries, your fears, all of your unbelief. Just put it aside for a moment and allow the Word of God to speak to you just like it was designed to. Before we read John chapter 4, how many of you are glad that it's cooling down outside? Anybody glad that it's cooling down? All right, put your hands together if you're glad that it's cooling down. All right, we even got a whistle. Somebody is really happy it's cooling down. Well, I'm from the north, and so when I moved to North Carolina, this is about as far south as I planned on moving. I was like, hey, when I move to the south, you know, it's going to be warm all the time, and I'm glad. I don't want to see snow anymore or whatever. But that kind of all changed this spring because I have a demonic air conditioner unit that's attached to my house that it never fails. Every single spring, that thing dies. Every spring. It's like the only thing that air conditioner never fails to do is fail. I mean, every time. Just count on it like clockwork. And this spring, that happened again. I was excited for the warm weather to start showing up, and then it started to be like 80-some degrees in my house. So I called a couple air conditioning people to come take a look at it, and one company came out. They said that they would do a great job, you know, for less. So they came out and they did some work on my air conditioner and, you know, gave me a nice big invoice. And then they said, everything should be great. And it was for about 2 weeks. And then it stopped working again. And the temperatures just started to climb in my house again. And I was like, this is awful. Come on. And so then I call a second air conditioner company, a different one from the time before. And they come in and they take a look at my air conditioner unit. And you know what they tell me? You gotta love this. They said, Tyson, hate to tell you this, but the guy who was here the first time only did part of the job. He only did half of the job. He left it unfinished. And I was just, you know, I had to just take a minute to just reflect a second and just forgive him in Jesus' name. Because all those hours sweating in my house in like torment in the heat, you know, it's because this guy didn't do his job. The reality is, when you and I leave business unfinished, things don't work. Things don't get done if you don't finish the job. The air conditioner guy doesn't finish the job. He does part of it, what's easy. He doesn't finish, and guess what happens? It doesn't work, and it breaks down again. Same concept is true in your life today. If you leave business that God has called you to unfinished in your life will not function properly the way God designed it and created it for. There has to be a time in our life where we get serious about the things God has called us to and we finish the things that He has called us to do. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 34. Then Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Say this out loud with me, to finish His work. In John chapter 4, this is Jesus' response to His disciples. And His disciples are saying to Jesus, "Aren't you hungry? Come on, surely you got to be starving. We got to feed you. We got to give you something." And Jesus looks at them and He says, my nourishment comes not from the physical things, but from doing and finishing the work that God has called me to. This morning, as you sit in this place, you may come from different backgrounds, different ideas of how things work or what God called you to do. God has given you each specific talents and giftings that nobody else in the world possesses. You are unique and you are specially designed in the image and likeness of God to carry out the purpose that He's called you to do. But the reality is, if you and I are not finishers of the things He's called us to, our life will breed frustration and confusion. Things that aren't finished don't work properly. When God breathed life into you, the Bible declares in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that when God formed you, He formed you from the dust of the earth, and then God breathed the breath of life into you. God literally formed you, and He created you in His very image and after His very likeness. He breathed the breath of life into you, and He gave you a purpose and a promise and a destiny to fulfill in your life that no one else can match or take your place. When God gave you a destiny, when God gave you a plan, when He set out the course for your life, He never once intended for you to be a beginner. But He designed you from the onset to be a finisher. He created you to be a person who follows through with the things that God has asked you to do. He's not called you to be a beginner, but He's called you to be a finisher. There is nowhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you can look if you want to, there's no place that God ever issued a calling and said, well, just do the part that you want to. Just do half of it. Just do the part that's comfortable for you and just leave the rest undone. No, Jesus has called us to finish the things that He set before us. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, says that Jesus, who is our example, is not just the author of our faith, but He is the finisher. Finishing the things God has called us to do is vitally important. John chapter 4, Jesus said it Himself, when you finish the work that God has put before you, it is nourishment to your soul. It makes you whole. There's something inside of each and every one of us that we were created to be finishers. Being a finisher is absolutely essential to your spiritual maturity. Anybody can start a good thing. Anybody can start out doing a business. Anybody can start into a relationship. Anybody can be good for the first hour or do a great job for the first day. But what about when things start to get difficult? And what about when things don't start to go your way? And what about when your convenience and your convictions collide? What about when the tough gets going in your life and you feel weary and like giving up? Because anybody can start a good thing. Anybody can begin a good work. But we've not been called to just be beginners. We've been called to be finishers. And when you finish things that God has created you for, it brings you into spiritual maturity. Today, I'm going to talk to you about a few qualities that every finisher has from Genesis to Revelation. But before we get there, I just want to speak to the families today for just a minute. Husbands, wives, God has called you not to just begin that relationship, not to just begin that family, but He's called you to be a finisher in it. He's called you to be faithful when things are good, and He's called you to be faithful when things are bad. God has entrusted you, husbands. He has entrusted you to provide and to protect your family, to be the spiritual leader and the guide of their life. He has entrusted you with their life to protect them and to shield them and to guide them in the ways of all truth. The number one tactic the enemy wants to do in your family is he wants to divide and conquer. He wants to bring division. He wants to bring separation and isolation. He wants you to feel like you're all alone in this and that you'd be better off giving up and starting over. The enemy lies to you and tells you that the grass is greener on the other side. But when God gave you that family, when God gave you that wife, ladies, when God gave you that husband, when God gave you those children, he didn't give them for you to just do half the job. He called you to be a finisher. He called you to be faithful in the good times and in the bad. He called you to rely on his strength when you feel weary and to persevere through the end. The Bible declares that there is nothing that will come into your life that is greater than that which you are able to stand. God will always make a way of escape for your life, not to run from your problems, but to run through them and come out victorious on the other side. Families, God has called you to be finishers. I'm telling you, children need their father in their life. Men, it is not okay for you to just be served and do whatever you want to do and run out and live how you want to live. God has called you and created you to be faithful and to finish the things that you have started in your life, the commitments that you have made in your life. Don't give up when things get weary. When you get weary, don't run away, run to Jesus, because he said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus. Parents, I just want to speak something into your life. The influence that you have on your children is epically profound. The influence that you have in their life, no matter how disobedient or how obedient they might seem in your eyes, the influence that you have over them is great, and it is mighty, and it is huge, and it is an incredible responsibility that has been given to you by God. Don't just be there when things are convenient for you, but make time to invest in them. Not just financially, spiritually invest in your children. You know, I'm just going to tell you this. I don't have any kids. Big surprise. I don't have any kids, so no panic. But you're like, how's this crazy young 25, 26-year-old guy going to preach to me about raising my family? Because, see, the reality is it's not my wisdom. It's not my words. It's his, and I don't argue with that. Do you? All right. But how many of you know this? And we're just going to be honest today. It's not easy to talk to your family, whether it's your parents or your children, about spiritual things. Can anybody witness? It's not easy. Because there's something in the back of your mind that you feel like you're going to turn them off. There's this disillusion in your mind that you feel like you're going to offend them or hurt their feelings or push them away. But the reality is that couldn't be further from the truth. Because Isaiah 55:11 says that when God's word goes forth, it cannot return void, but it will always accomplish that which it was sent out to do. Isaiah 55:11 is not just for pastors and preachers and teachers of the word of God. It's for you and for your life. And when you speak the word of God over your children, when you speak the hope of Jesus Christ over your children, every time you do that, you're sowing into their future. You're investing in a harvest that is greater than anything you could ever imagine. You're sowing into the eternity of their future. And I'm telling you, your influence is great. The Bible promises you as a parent that if you raise up a child in the ways of the Lord, they will not depart when they get older. They will not. And even if they run away for a season, his spirit is strong enough to bring them back to truth. Don't be afraid. Don't hesitate. Don't delay in investing spiritually into your children. Share with them the truth. Share with them the good and the bad. Share with them your testimony and how God has brought you out of the places that you used to be. Because in your testimony, there is power and there is truth revealed. So they don't have to go through the things that you went through. But if you keep it back and you stay silent, you're setting them up for a road that was never intended. God puts you in their life to be an influence and a guide. Be a finisher. Don't leave that page of their life undone. Don't leave that work unfinished. It's up to you, and you are capable. You say, well, I don't know the Bible that well. I don't know all. You don't have to. Just tell them what you do know. You don't have to have a PhD. Just tell them what you know. Tell them what God has done for you. Be a finisher. Don't leave that page unfinished in their life. Now, for those of you who don't have children, and you're in this place, and you're like, you're thinking, okay, well, I'm going to skip that point and wait for the next one. Here's the next one. All right. And as I was praying and studying over this, God spoke this one clear. I mean, this is clarion to you today. Don't leave unfinished telling other people what they mean to you. Those who are close to you, whether they're friends, family members, coworkers, don't leave that page unfinished. Tell them what they mean to you. Share with them. Be vulnerable enough to tell them that you love them and that they mean something to you. Maybe it's a grandparent that you haven't spoken to in a while. Maybe it's your parent that you haven't called in a long time. Maybe it's your kid that you haven't called forever. Maybe it's that best friend that you haven't seen in 6 months. Pick up the phone today. Pick up the phone today. Call them. Tell them what they mean to you. Tell them how much you love them and the impact that they've had on your life. Don't leave that page unfinished. I can't tell you, and I know this is going to get a little weird on you for a minute. I can't tell you how many funerals that I've preached, and I've had people and family members come to me and say, Tyson, if I had it all over again, I would have told them this. I wish I would have told them that. I wish I would have told them how much they meant to me. I wish I would have told them how much I loved them. I wish I would have shared the gospel with them. I wish I would have told them what God has done for me through their life. I can't tell you how many times that happens. Don't leave that page unfinished in your life. Be a finisher. Tell the people that are close to you how much they mean to you and the impact that they have had on your life. Because when you encourage them, You're enacting and enabling the love of Christ Jesus to flow through your life. Love out loud. Tell people how much they mean to you. Love them and finish that business that God has called you to. The next thing, for those of you who are dreamers and visionaries, God has given you a vision of a business. God has given you a vision of a church. God has given you a vision of your future. Maybe you're going to be a youth pastor. You're going to be a pastor someday. You're going to start your own business. You're going to go back to school. You're going to graduate. Whatever the vision is that God has placed in your life, no matter what circumstances surround you right now today, don't let your circumstances dictate to you what is possible and what is impossible. Instead, let your dream tell your circumstances what's possible. I'm telling you, God has called each and every one of you to greatness. If only for a moment you could see yourself the way God sees you. If only for just a moment you could see yourself through the eyes of God. If you could, I'm convinced you would be utterly amazed. You would be baffled by the plan and the promise that God has for your life. Because God's promise, let me just tell you a little something about God. He is over the top. He is awesome. He is infinite. He is great and he is mighty. He is a God of the great. He is incredible. And so are his plans for you, whether you believe it or realize it or not. But today, don't give up on the dreams and the visions that God has shared with you in your life. Don't allow your circumstances to tell you what's possible. I believe that when God gives you a vision, when God gives you a dream, when God gives you a calling, and when God gives you a plan, your circumstances have to be subject to that calling, not the other way around. I'm daring you today to start to speak into your life. If you don't have enough finances, if you don't have enough experience, if you feel like the world's against you, I dare you to stop sitting around and playing the victim card, feeling bad about why you don't have everything you need. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, start speaking life into those situations. Start speaking life to your today and remind your circumstances how great your God is, because there is nothing that you could face in this life that is any bigger or greater than your God. There is no financial obstacle in your life that is bigger than your God. There's no financial, there's nothing, there's no relationship issue that is too big for him to work through in your life. Your circumstances pale in comparison to how awesome your God is. He is mighty and he is infinite. And if God be for you, who in the world could be against you? Go ahead and give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad today that the God who has intended your plans, the God who has given you a destiny and given you a hope for your future. Aren't you glad today that he's not just a figment of your imagination? He's not just some distant God who's vaguely out there in the distant galaxy somewhere, but he is your ever-present help in your time of trouble. And he is the one who has already overcome the world. He is your God. He is your shield and your refuge. Don't give up in the process. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your plans that God has for you. Because what God has given you is great, and it will yield the harvest that he has created it for. Don't give up in the process. I'm convinced that there have been millions, if not tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of dreams who have died before they ever got a chance to live because people couldn't believe God to ever see them through it. Don't be a quitter. Remove the option to quit from your life. And be a finisher and go forth with the things that God has called you to. If you have your Bibles, flip with me one more place. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. This is a story that most clearly illustrates this example better than anything else I've read. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, talking about do not give up on the vision and the dream that God has called you to. Don't be a quitter. Be a finisher. I'd rather be a finisher than a beginner any day. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. This is the Lord God speaking to Moses at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. So I have come to rescue them from the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own good and spacious land. It is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites live. The cries of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how the Egyptians have oppressed them with heavy tasks. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh, and you will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 3, most of you are probably familiar with this story. The burning bush experience where God himself speaks to Moses and he says to him, I have called you, Moses, to bring deliverance to a people who have been in slavery for over 460 years. I'm calling you to be their deliverer. I'm calling you to tell them and sound the alarm that their future, their promise is greater than their present. Tell them that I have a vision. Tell them that I have a destiny. Tell them that I have a plan for them. And as Moses, as you read the story, and I'm sure that you're familiar with it, I can just imagine it now as Moses walks back to Egypt and he walks into the Israelite camp and he tells them for the very first time, people who all they've ever known is slavery, all they've ever known is bondage, their parents' generation, their grandparents' generation, and the generations before that, all they'd ever known was slavery and bondage and oppression at the hand of the Egyptians. I can imagine how that conversation went for the very first time when Moses walks into the Israelite camp and he says to them, God has a promise for you. He's going to deliver you from this place, and what he has for you is greater than your present. I can imagine as they stood in that place, probably their initial reaction was, my circumstances say that's impossible. I don't have any way for freedom. I don't have any way to get there. I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going. That sounds great. That sounds like a great promise, but I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to get started. But if the Israelites had given up in Egypt, they would have never seen their promise. And the reality is this morning, you might feel like you're in Egypt right now. You might feel like you're in a dry place right now. You might feel like all the circumstances and everything in your life is against your vision right now, but do not give up in Egypt, for God's promise is far greater than your present. Don't give up. You've been called to be a finisher. Now, the remainder of this morning's service, I'm not going to talk much longer to you, but I'm going to talk to you about three qualities that every finisher must have. Remember, being a finisher is nourishment to your soul. Jesus declared that in John chapter 4. He said, when I finish the work that the Father has called me to do, it is nourishment to my soul. When you finish the work of God, You obliterate frustration and confusion for your life, and you automatically begin to grow and mature spiritually. Finishing is huge and important in your life. Number one, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Qualities of a finisher. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 28. If you're taking notes, I would strongly encourage you to write these down. These are incredibly powerful. Qualities every finisher must have. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 28. Number one, every finisher must first count the cost. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin the construction of a building without first getting estimates and checking to see if there's enough money to pay the bills? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of funds. And how then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's that person who started the building and then ran out of money before it was even finished. Don't you love Jesus? He was blunt. He was right to the point. He wasn't interested in making friends. He just told people like it was. Luke chapter 14 says that a quality in every finisher is that they must first count the cost. See, the way you and I begin the things that God has called us to has everything to do with whether or not we finish. How you start, the mindset from the beginning, how you approach the beginning, has everything to do with whether you'll have what it takes to finish at the end. Jesus says, don't overcommit yourself. Don't commit yourself to things that you have no intention of doing, and don't commit yourself to things that you don't have time to fulfill. He said, the things that I've called you to, make sure that you count the cost of serving me before you jump wholeheartedly into it. This dialogue from Luke 14 is Jesus talking about people following him and being made into disciples. He said, if any of you want to be my disciple and follow me, you must first lay down your life. You have to lose yourself to find eternal life. And he goes on to say that if you want to be my disciple, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, Jesus was setting the expectation from the beginning that you better count the cost before you start this journey that he's called you to. How you start things has everything to do with whether you'll finish or not. Don't be impulsive with your decisions. Don't just make decisions based on how you feel in the moment. Don't just say, yeah, I'm going to do that because it sounds good and I want to do it. Count the cost. Take a minute. There's nothing wrong with you taking time. Think about it. Pray about it. Examine your life. Examine what it's going to take to get there. Don't be a beginner. Be a finisher. Number one, quality of a finisher is they count the cost from the beginning, or else they'll just lay a foundation and never have enough to finish. The Bible also tells us, in counting the cost, that we should be sober and be vigilant. In other words, be positive, but set realistic expectations. So many people, when they start something in their life, whether it's they start a business, or they start a family, or they start a church, or they start whatever it is that God's called them to, it's human nature to have this unrealistic expectation that everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to fall into place. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be the greatest thing that's ever walked day one. You and I have to be realistic, yet positive. We have to count the cost and be real in our evaluation of what we're doing. Because if you set unrealistic expectations over your family, over your children, over your business, over your life, over your career, you will set yourself up to burn out if you don't measure up. Instead of setting these unrealistic expectations, be positive from the beginning and give it everything you have. Give it your best. Give it your all. Be determined. Make up your mind from the beginning that you're going to stick with it no matter what it takes and what it costs. Be a finisher determines on counting the cost. The second quality of a finisher is found in Genesis chapter 15, and that's be patient. I'm not going to read it to you because most of you are familiar with it, but if you're taking notes, it begins in Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 5. God gives Abraham a promise. a promise that is greater than anything you could ever imagine. God looks at Abraham and he says, walk out under the stars. And he says, as you, Abraham, as you look up into the night sky and you see the stars that illuminate the heavens, your descendants and your family will be more abundant than the stars that illuminate the heavens. God spoke into the life of a nearly 90-year-old man and told him, you will be the father of a nation. You will be the father of a multitude. And as you read on in Genesis 15 and 16, and as you continue on, you'll find that Abraham received God's promise. He said, yes, I believe that. My descendants will be great. I might be pushing 90, but yes, God, if you said it, I believe it. But then Abraham grew impatient for his promise to become reality. Abraham wanted his promise now. He wanted to start the family now. He believed God for the promise, but didn't trust him through the process. He believed in what God called him to do and set him out for, but he didn't trust him in the process. So as you read on in Genesis, Abraham has a child with his household servant instead of his wife because his wife was barren. And instead of trusting God to do the miraculous, which he had already promised through his wife, Abraham went and did it his way and gave birth to Ishmael, who rose up to become a great nation who would oppose the child of promise that God was giving Abraham and Isaac. What I'm saying to you this morning is if you and I become impatient with the things God has called us to, we have a tendency to try to force them or will them into life rather than letting God orchestrate that himself. Be patient with the things that God has called you to. Be patient with the work that he set you out to do, because you're going to need him along the way. You can't do this thing on your own. Don't give birth to an Ishmael when God has promised you an Isaac. Don't try to force your own way. If God promised it, it will happen. The third and final thing, characteristic of a finisher, is found in Hebrews chapter 12, and that is to always keep your eyes on Jesus. In your life, there's going to be ups and downs. In your life, there's going to be storms. There's going to be trials. Your promise is great. Your destiny is bright. But it won't always happen the way you think it should happen in the way you think it should. But keep your eyes on Jesus and not the problems that face you in your life today. Because if you keep your eyes on your problems, and I shared this at C4 a few weeks ago, whatever it is that you're looking at, wherever your eyes are fixated on, whatever your eyes are seeing, that's the direction and the course that your life will take. If you constantly fix your eyes and focus on the problems and the things and the circumstances that surround your life, the things that oppose your promise, you'll find yourself going around in circles and having a life full of unfinished business. Keep your eyes on Jesus, no matter what comes your way, whether it's success or whether it's famine. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will keep you constant. Let's pray. Father, we worship you today. We thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you've called us to be finishers of the work that you've called us to, whether it's in our family, in our career, in our homes, wherever it is. Jesus, we trust you, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We worship you today. Give us the strength to persevere and to endure everything that comes our way in this life. Help us to be overcomers. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap the harvest that we've sown into. I pray, Father, that in the moments where we're the weakest and we feel like quitting and we feel like giving up and we feel like giving into our convenience rather than our convictions, I pray that you would remind us that our promise is far greater than our present. Jesus, you are our shield, you are our guide, you are our refuge through it all. Thank you that you finished the work that you came to do 2,000 years ago, and you didn't give up along the way. We worship you and we bless the name of Jesus. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'd stand with me this morning, I just want to take a minute to just thank God that He was not just the author of our faith. He didn't just begin it, but He promised that He would be the finisher. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this planet. He lived a life without sin. He was born of a Virgin Mary, lived a life without sin, performing the miraculous, causing the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk for the very first time. Doing miracles in the name of God, casting out devils, doing profound works, raising the dead. Yet He was rejected and despised by men, nailed to a cross at Calvary, Golgotha. And through it all, He could have prayed one prayer and the host of heaven, heaven's angels, would have rescued Him and redeemed Him from it all. But He endured the cross. He endured the shame, despising it all, being spat upon, rejected of men, being cursed. He endured it all because of the hope and the joy that was set before Him. He was a finisher of everything that God called Him to, whether by life or by death. And the reason that He was a finisher is you. You were the joy that was set before Him long ago, before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, before you were even a thought. The God who sees the end from the beginning, 2,000 years ago as He hung on Calvary's cross, you and I were the joy that was set before Him. You and I are the reason that He endured the contradiction of sinners. You and I are the reason that He finished the course. He stayed the course through it all for your redemption, for your life, for your eternal freedom. Because of the sin of one man, a sinful nature has reigned throughout all of humanity. One sin against God. The wages of sin is death. Every sin punishable by death. There can be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Still today, there can be no freedom without the shedding of blood. That's why we have an armed forces and a military who go out and faithfully serve this country and bravely risk their lives. And it's through the shedding of their blood that they purchase our freedom. And today we're gathered in the center city of Charlotte, North Carolina, to lift up and preach the gospel, because we serve a God who finished and who stayed the course. And the blood that He shed is enough for you. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care how many times you've sinned. I don't care how many times you've done wrong and ran your own way. His blood is greater than your sin. There is nothing that you could have done so wrong in your life that would outweigh the price that He paid for you. It is precious, and it is entirely free to you to receive by faith. Any person who will call on the name of Jesus and receive the finished shed blood on Calvary's cross, He declares in His word that He's faithful to forgive you of it all and to wash you white as snow. And today you can leave this room white as snow, holy and blameless before God. If that's you today and you say, Tyson, I want to pray that prayer today. I want that to be me. If that's you, just slip your hand up today and we're going to pray with you. Don't be ashamed. It's not awkward. It's not a weird thing, because God said that any man who would publicly acknowledge me on earth, He will acknowledge before His Father in heaven. We're giving you an opportunity to be known in heaven today. Raise your hand. If you raise your hand, keep it up with me. Praise the Lord. Clap. Put your hands together for those who are making a decision for Christ. For those of you who raise your hand, just keep it held high for a minute, and I'm going to pray a prayer with you. And I know you're not perfect, and neither am I, but by faith, acknowledging this prayer, this book has promised your salvation for eternity. This book has promised you to be made new. Let's pray today with our hands raised high. I'm going to lead you in this prayer, and I want you to believe it with your heart, and I want you to wholeheartedly believe this. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, and we thank You that You hear us. We thank You that heaven can hear our prayer today. And we believe in the Son of God, Jesus, who was sent to this earth 2,000 years ago. We believe that he was born of a Virgin Mary. We believe that he lived a life without sin. We believe that he performed the miraculous. We believe that he laid down his life on Calvary's cross. We believe that his blood was shed for the remission of our sin. We believe that he died on that cross, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead and was witnessed by over 500 witnesses. And now he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he reigns throughout all of eternity. And we believe that Jesus is coming again, and he's coming back for me today, because by faith I'm raising my hand, confessing that I'm a sinner, that I've fallen short of the glory of God. Before, I was an enemy of God. I lived for myself and opposed the will and the purposes of God. But today, by faith, I confess my sin, and I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and his blood's enough for me. And I trust in the name of Jesus and not Muhammad, and not in Buddha, not in Hare Krishna or any other idol of this world, because Jesus was the only one who had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. And that is my confidence, and there is my hope found in Jesus. And Father, we confess you as the Lord of our life, and give us the tools and the guidance by your Holy Spirit to live a life that will bring you glory. And we worship you in Jesus' precious name. Vision Church, clap your hands and praise the name of Jesus. Several people made a decision today to give their life to the Lord. There's no greater miracle that you'll ever witness in your life than that right there. The blind eyes could be opened, the lame could walk, even the dead could raise, but that would all pale in comparison to what you witnessed today. It would all pale in comparison to the decision that you made, because their bodies might get healed, but they'll go back to the grave. But your soul can never be held captive by the grave, because you are eternally saved and declared righteous by Christ Jesus. If you made that decision today, we just want to encourage you to please fill out a Connect card and drop it in the offering here today so that we can get a chance to know you and connect with you. I'll be available after the service. Please stop, talk to me. We're here for you. This Wednesday is just for you. 6:30 at the Plaza Road. This is why we exist. Come and be there with us, and let's worship the Lord for the work that he's done today.